Thank you. Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution Newcomer and Returning Member Meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. We will now introduce our speaker, a member who has had at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. Please help me welcome Kathy C., a compulsive overeater from Montreal. Welcome, Kathy C.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for your service this evening. Thank you for inviting me. I'm always humbled by a request to speak. So my name is Kathy C. I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. You know, and we use the word recovered, right? Just like in the Big Book, I was told that I have recovered from a seemingly hopeless, you know, state of mind and body. So there's so much hope just in that first sentence. Like in the Big Book, it even tells us when we open it up, right? It tells us about the stories of how many thousands of women have recovered. So not just one or two. See, when I came into OA, I just saw a few people who said, oh, I'm abstinent. Oh, then I'm not abstinent. Oh, then they were abstinent. I was so like confused. So for me, I'm recovered today because I'm here. I'm today. Today I'm here. So I say I'm recovered today. And I have a feeling I will be on this road. I just have a higher power with me. I hope not to lose my way as I did just a few years ago. But if I just go back when I started compulsively eating, I don't have the traditional story, whereas people say, oh, they knew from a young child, or maybe it was a teenager, even maybe a young adult, that they had problems with food, they were overweight, obese. For me, I had an interest, I had not even a curiosity, but I liked to eat, and I would snack, and people would say, oh, you have a good appetite for like, you know, a petite person or whatever. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess. So mid-30s, my sister-in-law goes on a diet, this low-carb diet. So she looked great. I said, I can probably benefit from a few pounds. And so she told me, don't eat white flour, don't eat sugar. You know, the Atkins, the famous the diet of the 70s, 80s, I guess, and 90s. But so I went on that diet, and easy peasy, I lost weight. I lost like 10, 15 pounds, and everyone noticed. I was like, wow, I must have not been like, I guess, of average size. I guess I had weight, that much weight to lose. And so from then on, it started. I had to keep that weight off, and it was getting a little bit harder and harder, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months. And then things happened in life. I had lost my job. And I remember, you know, being bored at home, opening the pantry, closing the pantry, opening the pantry, closing the pantry. Anyhow, fast forward, I decided, or I was asked to work in a cafeteria, food cafeteria for a relative. Oh my gosh. I was plopped into a position where I had to like prepare the salads and the food and serve people. And I wasn't enjoying it. I was stressed all the time from managing a travel agency. I was, you know, put into this environment. And that's when, you know, my looking back, I see that I was like people pleasing. You know, I was very self-centered. I really wanted to be liked, and they were a relative, and how can I say no? And I'm going to help them out. But that's where my disease really bloomed. It was awful. It was so awful. My husband would say, why don't you leave? Why don't you just leave? I'm like, I can't. I don't, you know, where am I going to go? I like the hours. It was like 8 to 3, because then it permitted me to go to the gym. right? And like work out, like, you know, try to work out like, you know, 1,000 calories, because I just ate like 3,000 calories of cookies there. And this went on and on, and it got worse. And I felt my world getting smaller and smaller and smaller as I was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And the obsession was on. And then, of course, like a good compulsive overeater, right? I come up with all these plans. Okay, well, I'm not going to eat this anymore. I'm not going to maybe not even eat. So I would try fasting, changing my food, adding in food, removing food, hiring a trainer, buying food plans. I couldn't stick to anything. And I really wanted to stop. I just couldn't. I didn't understand why I couldn't stop. And I would ask, what are you eating? And comparing how do they look, right? Am I like that? Am I bigger than her? Am I thinner than her? I wonder what she eats. And do you eat this? And I was like, just consumed. My mind was consumed of how much I weighed, how I looked. And people started to notice. You know, I'd go to the bank and they'd say, oh, are you pregnant? No, not pregnant. Oh, you filled out a little bit. You're filling out. Yeah. Or just like, you gained weight, like just straight, like right. And I was like, now it's noticeable. More shame, more guilt. So what did I do? I ate more. That's what I do. I did constantly. I wanted to stop. Ate. It went over. It went on and on and on and on and on. Speaking with a friend, herself, she's obese. She says, you know, she had said, you know, I'm obese. I'm like almost 300 pounds. I said, you know, I can't stop eating sugar. I just can't. It's like, you know, this thing I have. And she says, you know, we're like alcoholics with alcohol. You know, we have that same thing with sugar. So I said, I'm going to Google sugar addiction. So I Googled sugar addiction and I found this OA meeting near my home. So I go there. There's all these women and they look at me and they thought I belonged to the choir, that I came to the church for the choir practice. They said, are you looking for the choir? I said, no, I'm looking for OA. Oh, come in. And I just cried, I think like the whole hour. I was just sobbing because people were saying my story. And I said, this is happening. Like I do that with food. And I don't know, just the relief. I guess there was some relief saying, okay, there's I'm home, maybe. Like they were saying, well, welcome home. And I was afraid to go back home. I said, I don't know if I could do this. You know, and someone gave me a number of a meeting, a big book study meeting that night. This woman, this angel. But you think, you know, I would have worked a program. You think I would have, like, you know, called a sponsor. You know, I tried working with someone and she didn't call me back. So I guess, you know, she went back into the food. So I'm like, oh, I guess this is how it is. Like, we just, you know, come and we talk. And well, this went on for like a year and a half. Still thinking I can do it myself. And all the while listening to that meeting, that conference call meeting, every morning, 7 o'clock, I was plugged in and they talked about abstinence and they talked about, you know, entire abstinence, and they had to give in their food and they had to do this and then all this energy. And I'm like, wow, that sounds too much. Like, that's a bit exaggerated. Like, so I'd go back to my little meeting there and we just like talk. And I didn't want, and once a month we had a big book meeting and I wouldn't go to that one because I didn't like the big book. I'm like, what's this guy Bill? And he's like 1930s, like, oh, that's ancient, and he's alcoholic. I'm not an alcoholic. You know, I haven't lost anything. I'm thriving. I just have a little, you know, food problem. Like my taste buds are extra sensitive. I just got to get the right food plan. And I got to work on my willpower and, you know, like vision board and self-care. And again, maybe got to go to the gym, right? All these, like, this great frothy emotional advice other people do. Oh, come on, Kathy, you can do it. You just got to try harder. Put it in the freezer, eat half, share, don't buy any. Like, no, didn't work. And again, I wanted to. I tried. And my husband, he felt so bad for me. He knew I was trying because I'm like, okay, well, now it's this and now it's that. He goes, great, babe, you can do it. It's going to be okay. It's okay. And I'd cry. And then I was there, I was again. And it was a mess. I was a mess. Over and over this happened. You know, usually people make mistakes. Like I now during COVID, like I would go online and shop because I was like, I had nothing else to do, right? The shops were closed. So I'd buy online and I'd shop and I get something like, oh, it doesn't fit. Okay, well, let me try this website. Get it again. And oh, it doesn't fit. Doesn't look right. So I said, well, I can never shop again online. Like I spent $300 on clothes I'll never wear. I had to literally throw them. And you know what? I stopped. I didn't go back. I was able to stop, right? So with the food, I made those promises. I made those resolutions over and over again. That's it. I'm done. I'm finished. I don't want any more. I'd be okay for a day or two, maybe even sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, I've been so good for two days, 3 days, and I worked out and I'm just going to have like one piece, two pieces. Tomorrow I won't have any. I'm fine. I have enough calories today. Maybe I'll skip a bit on the whatever tonight. And yeah, that sounds great. Sounds normal. Sounds sane. Okay. So my mind's telling me it's okay to have it. And I believe it. I really believe it. Nothing is going to make me want to eat. I don't feel no emotions, nothing. Everything's great. I'm going to have those two pieces or whatever. So I guess you guys know what happened, right? Because I'm here today still. So I had those two pieces. And those two pieces didn't stop at two pieces. Because now it's in my body, right? And so now I started to see, oh my God, I can't, whenever it's in my body, something happens to me. I can't control it. And the worst part is after like having, you know, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes of eating and binging and grabbing stuff here, grabbing stuff there. And I'm like, I don't even taste anything. I see myself. What are you doing? It's disgusting. It's not even good. I'm on autopilot. I have no idea. I'm possessed. I'm possessed. You know, I like the word hijacked. I am hijacked. I'm taken and I'm just like thrown in the back of the van. I'm done. I have no mental defense. Talks in the big book. So now my mind is even saying what's going on. It still doesn't stop me from, you know, the allergy. The allergy of the body is going to do what it's going to do. It says in the big book, it's a phenomenon, meaning we don't know when it starts. We don't know when it ends. Right. So I continued and I went to another group with another sponsor and they said, here, well, we don't look at food like that abnormal reaction. You know, it's the behavior. And when you finish your ninth step or you start your ninth, you go to 10, then you won't want to compulsively eat anymore. You can have everything. It won't bother you. You know, it's so I tried for 2 years. I tried with them. And I said, there's something missing because I'm still binging when I eat that food. And here I was helping people, going to the meetings, showing up. And I said, there's something wrong. And so I left that meeting. And then I went to another meeting, another group where they focused, you know, on the big book, the allergy of the body, that I have this allergy of the body, that it's never, ever, ever going to change. Just like the colors of my eyes will never, never, ever change, no matter how much I pray. For blue eyes or whatever, I'm not going to have blue eyes. It will never change. I have this, you know, this biological mandate that when I put certain ingredients in my mouth, not in the head yet. That's the mental. Now we're talking. That's the mental obsession. I'm talking in my body. Something happens to me. It's abnormal. It's adverse. It doesn't happen to everyone. It says, right? My husband and I, we can each have a piece of like, I don't know, dessert. And he's so excited and he wants to like, oh, I can't wait, you know. And so he has 1, 2, 3, 4. And then he starts to slow down. He pushes it away, you know. And I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, like I'm full, like it's enough. Like, I don't want any more. And he pushes the plate away. And I'm like, oh. And I'm eating mine, and the second, the third, the fourth, now I want the sixth, now I want his piece. And then I'm off. I don't know where I am, who's there, I don't care. I'm like, I'm uncomfortable, something's happening. Those foods for me create that phenomenon of craving, which is of more of it. It breaks out into more. I don't get full and slow down and get satisfied. It intensifies. I don't have to understand it. All I have to know that it's true and that it happens to me. The why doesn't matter anymore. I've passed that I've crossed that line anymore. This is how my body is right now. Then there's a mental obsession that tells me it's okay. You're not that bad. You're not even like obese. You have like 10 pounds. Like, who cares? You're fine. You've done so well. It won't hurt you. Right? That's a mental obsession. And I was told the mental obsession is a thought that permits no other thought from coming in. So I know all this. We're all really smart women here. I'm sure we could all, you know, drive a car, balance our bank account. We can log in Zoom, for heaven's sake. It could be challenging sometimes. But when it came to that, I couldn't see right from wrong. I couldn't see the truth versus the false. It would not hold me back. So my desire to stop didn't work. And all this knowledge doesn't stop me. I've said plenty of times, don't eat sugar. It's never good, or don't eat those foods. But there I was again. I'm like, you chose again, you chose again. And then someone said to me, you think we're choosing this? You think you chose to eat chocolate? Well, I ate it. You didn't choose it. You're powerless. You have no choice. It says in the big book, you have no choice. You have a mental obsession. When that comes in, when that settles in your mind, there's nothing else that will come in and deter you. I have no mental defense. So that means knowledge. Desire. What about fear? Yeah, fear scares me a little bit. It did, but it didn't last. Just like Fred sobered him up a bit. He was afraid he was going to lose this, lose everything, is, you know, but it doesn't stay. He is powerless. I am powerless. The big book asks us to abstain from those foods. Why? Again, because if I put it in my mouth, I'm going to eat it. I'm going to overeat 100%. Not maybe right away. See, that's the sneaky part. Eventually, you know, 2 days, maybe even 2 weeks. Oh, you did so fine. You did okay with that, you know, X, Y, and Z. Surely you can have some. That's the mental obsession now. Again, I just swore it off. I just said I was never going to do it again. I have 10, 12 years of experience to tell you the binging, the horror, I wake up, the remorse. The regret, the crying, the self-hate, you know, the demoralization that Bill talks about. Incomprehensible. I couldn't understand it. I was brought there. Pitiful. I felt pitiful, full of shame. And I hated myself so much. I couldn't look at people in the eyes. I didn't want to show up to places. Why? Because if they asked me how you were, I'd have to say, fine. But down deep, I want to say, I'm so messed up. I'm so messed up. I hate how I look. I hate how I'm living my life. I want to live one way and I'm living another. I ate against my will. I ate against my will. Talk about like being in bondage, being in a prisoner in my own head. So I do lots of workshops, but I did find a sponsor who did carry me through the book, the big book. I was resisting, but slowly but surely, I came to love it. I came to love it. I'm like, wow. Because in my mind, I knew I couldn't do this anymore. I didn't want to live like this. So I said, I'll give this a go. And she says, besides, the food's always there. You can always go back. Great, let's do it. So we did the big book. oh my gosh, the inventory showed me, you know, all this stuff that's going on, you know, that selfishness, that dishonesty. The inventory had me see how I viewed life, you know, because life happens to everyone, right? COVID is happening to everyone. Like, this is a great example. I'm not suffering with COVID, you know. My daughter got it. It delayed my son's surgery. Work is like, we have like, I'm not suffering from it. I'm just living with it. That's how I want to live my life. Before, everything, I was suffering from everything, everyone, like, you like this, and this is like this, and this is why, and this is like this, is it's because of this, and it's because of that, right? I would always, like, there was a reason for my binge, there was a reason for my, you know, disturbance, there was a reason for all, for why I felt all this. And then the big book asked me, well, what if you take another view? Why don't you have this higher power that you may or may not believe? So then I was like, well, I don't know, like, God is like, he's all big and almighty, and like, I just want to eat. I'm so vain. Like, he's busy, you know, helping sick children, and you know, why is he going to help me? I'm just vain. I just want to be skinny. I really wanted to just be skinny, and because I thought being skinny was going to solve all my problems. I wasn't going to obsess, and then maybe I can be happy. Oh boy. So I tried, you know, to see that there's a power greater than me. And on page 55, it led me to see that, you know, my understanding, my concept of a higher power was not the same one that I had to believe in coming in a way. It wasn't my childhood God, the one that I inherited from my parents. That was a punishing God, like a Santa Claus, like, okay, I promise to be good, you know, and you'll give me that, right? Well, then I could never be good. And I'm like, okay, sorry, I'm checking out, like, I'm not going to bother you, God, you know? So it was so impactful when it told me that I was fooling myself, right? Fooling that I really thought, well, maybe God's not interested in me. Doesn't care. Look at me. I'm pathetic. I can't even get like a meal. I can't even be abstinent. Like, I can't. And so it's just like right inside me, there's the fundamental idea of God. It may be obscured by calamity, by pomp, and by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. So some form or other. So it doesn't have to be that God. Doesn't have to be or your God or that God, or in a synagogue or in the church or like on a mountaintop. No. It says right down deep inside, you know, and that resonated with me. It's like, yeah, because I want this power. I know what's right and wrong. I know what love is and the joy of being at peace, to have some serenity. I have bouts of serenity, but then boom, something would happen and I'd go back out there. So there is where I wanted to live. So I started from that. Love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, peace of mind. This is what I wanted, a power greater than me, because I lacked that power. I had no power. So this is where I started. This is what I asked the spirit of the universe, not God, because I can name it whatever. I don't have to spell it G-O-D, right? We all have different names here, but we really are just all human. So same thing with this power. I can name it whatever. I started with higher power, spirit of the universe. It worked for me. That's all I had to start. It's like just willingness to start. Doesn't matter. Willing to believe. I can't. I'm powerless. It's not because I'm bad. It's not because I don't want it bad enough. It's not because I don't have enough knowledge. It's I have no power. That's why I kept going back there. That's why the mental obsession came, because I was powerless. So I needed a higher power. So there's where I started. Okay, let's try this. So I started to pray to this higher power, which I didn't know was going to happen. Anything was going to happen. It's not asking me to believe in it right away. It says, are you willing to believe that there could be this power that can help you? And someone said, well, do you see other people recover? Do you see them thriving and happy and laughing, and their lives could be still like happening, like COVID and sick children and husbands that don't listen or whatever. Yeah, but they're still happy. They're not eating. I believe that. Okay, great. Step three, then I have to see that I have to build this relationship, right? I have to build this thing, me and a higher power, a relationship, right? Because I'm going to go to it and I'm going to eventually come to see that I'm going to turn all my life. This is the promise. I'm going to turn my will and my life over to this power. You know, this is the promise. This is the recovery. This is how I stay with a power. I have to have a relationship with it, not just a one-time deal, just like a relationship with anything. If we don't, you know, grow with it, if we don't communicate, if I don't go to this power, it's just me again. And again, I'm powerless. Every morning I wake up a compulsive overeater. Every morning I can wake up agnostic, like, oh, little run. I'm like, wait a minute. I know what I need to do. So I look forward to my morning prayer and meditation. Why? Because that's the power. That's the power. That's where I get the power. So step three, right? In turning, building a relationship, I have to do certain steps. And that's steps 4 to 9. It tells me we launch. So there's no like waiting around. I launch. That's a powerful word, a rocket launch, right? We launch into the steps. And there is where I see God. There's where I meet God. And I pray 4 to 9. Let me see that when I view things from this higher power's view with love, compassion, forgiveness, patience, I get to see that the people I'm angry at or the situations are just like me, just doing their best, just like me. They're not to blame. So what I view or how I view them is what's hurting me, my reality, how I see things. That's where I need the help, right? Because all suffering, my suffering comes from what I'm thinking and believing. Whatever I think and believe, let's say COVID, I'm just saying COVID because it's prevalent in our lives. You know, so am I going to hold COVID, you know, responsible for everything, or make it look like, or like just be angry at it and make it mean more than what it is? That's just like with my relationships, right? This person's not doing that. Why is this happening? Why is, you know, sickness in my family? Why is, you know, that's the suffering is actually, I believe, I actually, you know, came to see that I can't live without a power. See, God comes in. I ask God to help me change my thinking because that's where, again, that's where my problem lives. It's in, I suffer. I suffer when I think alone or along those lines. So step 6 and 7 show me exactly, well, yeah, look at these defects. They're like, they exasperate, right? So there's where I have to ask God to come in and remove them, right? He removes them. They're not permanently removed. Don't get me wrong. I do this daily practice, right? And then I pray that God is here. God is inside me. He wants this for me too. And he will help me. If I do my part, see, I have to take the actions, though. God will direct me, but I do the work. I do the work. I follow through. So 8 and 9, I make amends. I go out and make amends. And wow, I did feel like a different person. I had to go make amends. And still today, I'm aware, or I believe I'm aware, because I do have a higher power, you know.
4 minutes.
Thank you. So then now, you know, we're living in 10, 11, and 12. So how does that look? Well, it tells us in the big book, 10, 11, 12, I'm going to have these defects. I have to watch out for them, because now I'm coming to a place where I see where they're at, how they come out, what they're about. I have to do my daily, you know, inventory. So when I'm disturbed, right away, I know it's something that I'm not in agreement with. Again, what am I thinking? What am I believing about this? Let's take a look. What has been threatened? my self-esteem. Oh yeah. Pride. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like to be wrong. Nope. And don't you know who I am? You can't do this to me. The dishonesty, right? The thinking, my ambitions, don't threaten my ambitions. My personal relations, don't touch my kids, my husband, my parents, right? A whole bunch of stuff. And then I have to see how the dishonesty, then I start making up a story. The fears come in and I'm blocked. So I need to get unblocked. So how do I stay unblocked? Well, I do my daily 11th step, right? Morning on awakening, early morning. I do my morning, half an hour meditation, two-way prayer. During the day, I'm constantly talking to God. And in the evening, absolutely, I see how my day was. You know, was I kind and loving? Right? Was I in the stream of life today, or was I just thinking about myself? And I'm accountable to my sponsor. I send this every night to my sponsor. And 12, well, 12 is what's having this awakening. Yeah, because now I'm awakened to the truth. I have this higher power with me. I can't live without a higher power. That's my truth, right? What I did with the food wasn't insane. That was the allergy of the body and the mental obsession. God removed that. I don't know when that was removed, but it was in the process once I came to start to think that, yeah, I could be saved, or I am willing to pray to this and ask for help. Then it was removed. So I 12 step. I live in 12 steps by helping others, by doing service as best as I can. And not only here in program, but in my life. Now I'm present in my life too. My relationships are different. So this is my new way of life. I don't need to suffer anymore. I don't need to compulsively eat. That has been gone. But now I have to live with, you know, those defects every day that pop in, because I will always be a compulsive overeater. The book tells me if I don't do the work, I'm going to go eat again. So this is why I show up every day for my life. You know, it's a gift. It really is a gift. And I want to share this gift with others. We are all capable. We are, you know, here for the same purpose, to get well, right? We're not bad to get good. We are sick to get well. And if I tell myself that I have a food problem, I'm never going to get better, because I have a disease, very different. I have a spiritual malady. I lack power. That's how it looks. I need spirit. I lack spirit. I lack this higher spirit. So I think I'm just going to end it there. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Kathy. That was really, really good.